Okay, so we're going to make a start. What's the most annoying thing about the people you work with? So I know the most annoying thing about the people I work with, and it's this. Now, not everybody at Modality does this, but some people do. Maybe it's the same with you. So I'll get an email, and it'll say, hi. I'd like to schedule a meeting with me and you and maybe one of these sponsors, maybe one of these kind of great companies we have. Give me some times you're free. Give me some times you're free. What, today, this week, forever. This is stupid. Yeah. This is stupid because I don't know when you're free. I don't know when these people are free. It's stupid because you could look at my calendar, but you don't. So we have these silly problems, and in 2017 we should be doing a better job of making these problems go away. I want my technology to do a better job of understanding my calendar and what my calendar can do, and understand making those problems go away and just picking the right time. And may just I don't have to deal with these stupid problems all the time. So we live in a world now where we do a lot of our communication in messaging apps. Facebook, Slack, Twitter, WhatsApp. You know, I bet you guys are probably like looking around the room, some of you are in messaging apps right now. And more messaging apps are actually replacing real apps. So I'll give you an example. So who here has an Amazon Echo? Okay, a few people. And if you want to listen to music on your Echo, you say kind of Amazon, play whatever, play rock music, whatever it is, and the music comes out. When you're doing that, you're not thinking, oh, I'm using the Spotify app. I'm going to use the Spotify app to listen to music. When you want to get the weather, you don't think, oh, I need to use the weather app. It's Amazon, what's the weather? We're shifting away from using apps and more towards using messaging as our platform for getting data. And that's happening in the consumer world right now. The technology is still quite young, but it's evolving, and it's evolving quickly. And one of the things we know is that it's when it comes to the consumer world, it won't be long before it comes to the business world as well. So we know that the technology is constantly changing, and that's exciting. Because it's always evolving. If you stand still, you die. The technology moves on and on. And today it's not good enough anymore to have a UC setup where users are just talking to users. Now users want to talk to their systems and their data and their business infrastructure, not just their users. They want to be able to get at their data. Bots are here, they're real, they're happening today. They're changing how we talk to computers and how we interact with systems. And they're enabling these kind of scenarios more and more. So I think over the next few years, we're going to see users expecting to be able to talk to their data in the same way they talk to each other using these messaging platforms, and be able to talk to their organizations, to be able to talk to their systems more and more and more. And I think that's exciting, and opens up loads of different interesting scenarios. What's interesting is that we've seen a real change in. So we know, remember a few years ago, we had the bring your own device phenomenon, you know, the whole revolution where users expected to be able to talk to their businesses using whatever devices they had. And I think we're seeing that again now. But what we're seeing is the bring your own platform revolution. So things like Skype for Business, traditional communications platform, but also things like Slack, WhatsApp, even Microsoft Teams. People are choosing the platforms that work for them and that make it right, whether that's allowed or not. And that's a challenge. I think that's a challenge for all of us, because it's hard if we can't control the platform. How can we make these solutions if we don't even know the platforms users are supposed to be on? Including a bunch of platforms that probably haven't been invented yet, but almost certainly will be invented in the next 5, 3, whatever years. So that's what this talk is about. It's talking about how can we create those solutions, how can we build bots that allow customers to have access to their data. And this is all UC. I think it's an important part of UC because it's happening today, and I think it's part of the challenge of doing and living and breathing UC today, is that we can understand this stuff, and it is kind of a part of what we're doing. So who here would say they're a developer? Good, that's kind of the right answer. That's what I was hoping for in a way. So normally, I'm the only developer speaker at events like this. And normally, I do a kind of State of the Union update about what's happening in Skype for Business Development to bring everyone like up to the level. And actually, when he kind of first emailed me, Johan said to me, are you going to talk about the new Trusted Application API that's come out? And I almost said, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. But then I thought about it, and I thought, no one there is going to be a developer. And everybody wants to know what you can do with it and what's possible today, but that's not going to take 60 minutes. And if I spend the next 50 minutes of that in code, going like really low level and really detailed, it's not a good use of your time. Okay. So what I thought I'd do instead is spend the next 5-10 minutes talking about what is the new changes in the Skype for Business code, and then what you can do today, and then go and talk about something different. So a good analogy for the whole Trusted Application API and that whole system is Wi-Fi, so home Wi-Fi. So imagine you're setting up your home Wi-Fi. You have kind of two options. You can do what most people do, the kind of 95% of people, and use either what's in the box, or you go and buy a router that's got Wi-Fi built in, it's got everything, it works, it's a really good answer, it's cheap, it's easy to set up, it doesn't take a lot of your time. Or you could get geeky. You could go the other route, the more complicated route. It's more expensive, but it opens up a lot more options. Separate controllers, separate firewalls, separate APs. You totally could do that, and it gives you a lot more options. But it's not right for most people. Most people don't care about their Wi-Fi as long as it's working. So they're like, whatever, I'll just take the cheap, like this option works fine, it works, I don't care that I can't control everything in it, and that's fine. And that's kind of the same with these developer APIs. So Skype for Business developer APIs are kind of this thing over here, yeah? There's lots of different components, they're really powerful, and you can do loads of things with them, but you do need to tie them together just right, and you need to be set up right. So these are the things you would use if you're building complete contact centers solutions or compliance offerings on Office 365. There are a bunch of new APIs coming, or that are kind of being rolled out, being developed, live, preview, all for Office 365, and they all kind of fall into this camp here, okay? And if you're not a developer, then the nitty-gritty, the details of this is not super, super interesting. You just want something easy, right? So what I'm going to do is spend 5-10 minutes talking about what's possible with these and what they all are and how they work, and then we'll go and talk about something else. So, I don't know if this is true or not, but I like to think this is what happened a few years ago when everything in the Skype for Business world was moving to Office 365, I imagine in Microsoft, somebody looked at all the SDKs and the APIs and thought, well, these work really well on-premise. We need to get them to work in the cloud. So I called all the developers in. We're like, these are all the APIs. They work on-premise. What would it take to make them work in the cloud? And my guess is that the number of months and years they came back with was such a terrible number. They thought, we can't do this. We need to come up with something better because this is a competitive market. So what they did instead was they thought, well, what we won't do, we won't try and take everything and do it to 100% on the cloud. We'll focus in on user scenarios, specific use cases that we know customers want to achieve, and then we'll build just enough to make those use cases work. And the first scenario they picked was this one. So imagine you have a Skype online meeting in 365. What you want to be able to do is create that meeting in code from your application or your website or whatever it is, so you can stand up a new meeting that lives in the cloud. Then you want to be able to join or have users join it that don't necessarily have the Skype for Business client. So this is your end users, your end customers of your business that don't necessarily have the client, so they're web-based. So you need a nice way of them being able to join. We're mobile first, so you need a way for them to join from mobile applications. And I'm not talking about the Skype for Business mobile client, I'm talking about embedded applications inside your own mobile application. You need to be able to join. And of course, like the standard Skype for Business client setup as well. So this was the scenario they decided to go and work on. And it involved doing work on a number of different APIs and different SDKs. And that's why a few years ago, we started to see some of this stuff come out. So back in 2015, the web SDK came out and it was on-premise only, but then in 2016, it moved to Office 365. That has a limited set of features and a limited set of functionality. One of the things you can do with it though, is join a meeting anonymously from the web. It's still a bit pluginless. You still need a plugin to do the AV. Pluginless stuff is coming. You can use the web SDK to join a 365 meeting anonymously. In 2016, the mobile app SDK came out. It has one feature in it, literally one thing you can do with the mobile SDK, and that is to join an online meeting anonymously. Yeah, see what I mean about them doing just enough to light up the scenario. Like, there'll be more stuff in that SDK, but right now that's all you can do. And then earlier this year, the application API came out. Preview at the moment. It's REST-based. So what that means is you send it HTTP commands, response and request. It also has a limited functionality. More features are being added. Right now in public preview, pretty much the only thing you can do is create an Office 365 meeting that others can then join anonymously. It's meeting creation and management stuff. We come back to the diagram. You can now do all of these things with these APIs and SDKs. You can now create from code, you can create your meeting, and you can have users join it, all living on 365 with no servers on-prem. So this was the use case they were going for. This was the scenario. And if you're Microsoft and you've worked through this scenario to this point, then you need to kind of, if you've gone down the route of not creating everything fully, you need to have a way of telling people that this is the scenario you've done. And that brings us to the other thing that got announced a few weeks ago, which is the virtual healthcare templates. So Microsoft put out literally a whole bunch of code on GitHub that was a fully worked solution for doing that whole scenario that I just showed on the slide. They call it Remote Advisor, makes a lot of sense. They were using patient care as a good example, because it is a good example. If you're a doctor, you want to meet securely with your patients, you want that to happen in 365, that is this. This is, you know, your doctor's down here, your patient is in one of these two places, You want to have a secure private meeting space. Office 365 is really good for that. So that's an interesting kind of thing that Microsoft did, and I think they needed to do that to kind of showcase what that use case was. So they put out these virtual health templates. You can download them, you can install them and use them. They show you kind of what that process looks like. It's fully Office 365. You don't need any hardware. I've put a link there as well. Okay. So that's a really kind of quick level set for what the Trusted Application API does and the state of the Skype for Business APIs today. So if we're not going to talk about that, what are we going to talk about for the rest of this session? Well, we're going to talk about the other Wi-Fi option, the kind of the all-in-one does 80% but does it really well. And that is making bots, and making bots to allow users to interact with applications. And bots are a big thing at the moment. A lot of it is kind of marketing, but there is a thing under that as well. And they're bigger than just Skype for Business. They're bigger even than Microsoft Teams, so they have their own platform, which is the Microsoft Bot Framework. The idea behind the Microsoft Bot Framework is that it's a platform where you build your application, your bot application, on the bot framework. You don't build it to any particular application. But then once you've built it, the bot framework will expose it on all these different channels. So the different channels might be Teams, Slack, WhatsApp, whatever. That means that you don't have to write an implementation for each platform. You don't need to worry about all the different weird intricacies of each platform, and you are protected against new platforms coming along in the future. You literally write it once and it works everywhere. And because it all sits on Azure, you also have access to a load of cognitive services stuff in Azure as well. So it's all pretty exciting for me. I think it's pretty exciting as a developer. But I kind of know what you're all thinking around about now, and I can kind of see it in the room. You're thinking, Tom, I'm not a developer. I can't do this. I don't understand. Okay, so don't worry. You don't need to be a developer to do this. So this is either going to go really well or really, really badly. So let's jump into a live demo involving knowledge retrieval. So can we take a body of knowledge, a body of data that we have, can we expose it to users without writing any code at all? Okay. So let's start with this. So this is a random FAQ for BitLocker recovery keys. Really exciting stuff. So this is just an FAQ page. You can see it's got questions and answers. Okay. So you probably have one of these inside your business somewhere. If not, you could have. Your IT support desk probably have one somewhere, but it's all locked up somewhere. It's probably on SharePoint. Like, it's hard to get hold of. People don't know it's there. Can we do better? All right, so I'm just going to take that URL. I'm going to go to qnamaker.ai. Q&A Maker is a service that makes Q&As for you, right? So let's go to my services. I don't have any services. Okay, so let's create one. What should we call it? Let's give it a name. And it says, what is the URL of your company FAQ? So I'm going to paste in the FAQ for my BitLocker recovery keys. Now, I could also upload a PDF. I could upload a Word file, or I could just write the questions out myself. But in the interest of time, I'm going to click create. Hopefully it won't take too long. So what it's done is just gone through the page and it's split out questions and answers. Okay, so I can look at this, I can edit it, I can add more. If I was doing it properly, I would go through, make a really good knowledge repository. Haven't really got time for that, so I'm just going to click the test button. Okay, and so it gives me kind of what looks like it might be a bot, sort of. It gives me a chat window. So in here, I can say, why am I locked out? and it'll go and give me the answer. Now, there's some good AI and deep learning behind all that, but I'm not going to worry about that right now because we don't want to look at code. What I will show you is that on the left, I can tell it if it got the answer wrong and give it a different answer. On the right, I could give it alternative questions that people might say. So actually, somebody might say, help, I'm locked out. Okay, it still found the right answer. So I don't need to train it, which is really good. So I could spend a lot more time in here than I am, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to hit publish. I get a chance to review the changes I've made, and then I can hit publish again. Right, so we get what looks like code, so I won't spend too much time looking at it, but just to let you know, this is just an HTTP API endpoint. So you could hit that in PowerShell, you could hit that in a web page, whatever, with user questions and get the answers back. But we said we were going to make a bot, so let's do that. So flipping over to Azure for a minute. So I'm going to create a new bot service. Right. Give it a relatively unique name. You don't matter what resource group. I'm just going to give it a location that's kind of close to here. I'm going to click create. So all I'm doing is I'm setting up a new bot service. And as soon as I'm just going to wait a couple of seconds for it to deploy, because hopefully it won't take too long. And then, so it's funny when you do it in testing, it's definitely faster. There we go. Okay, cool. Okay, so I come here and it's some kind of setup page. Okay, and I still don't really know what I'm doing, but there's a big button that says create Microsoft FID and passwords. That's fine, so I'll click that. I have to sign in again. Okay, so I get an FID. For some reason, I have to click a button again in order to get the password. Right now, what we're doing is Azure application registration, but it's a nice kind of step through wizard process. All we need to do is take the password and paste it in there. Right, let's come down here, choose a language, C# or Node.js. That's starting to look a bit codey, so let's not look at it too much, but come down to templates, and there's a question and answer template. Perfect, let's choose that. And click create bot. Now we get a chance to choose from a drop-down list. This is the Q&A service we just created from the Q&A maker. Okay, so we're creating a bot service, so we've got the bot side sorted out, and we're going to point it at the Q&A service, which is the question answer bit. Okay, and we can do all that without writing any code. Okay, so this is the bit that does take a bit of time, so I'm just going to go over what we just did. So from having a list of questions and answers that we either already had from a web page or we built up ourselves, we then used the Q&A maker service to essentially transpose that into a set of keys that were questions and answers. And we can always go back to that Q&A service. We can always log in and keep it up to date, make changes, add new questions, whatever. That's almost like a data store that sits there. We then used Azure. We created a new bot service in Azure. We told it what we wanted to do was create a question and answer bot. And we just pointed it at the Q&A service. Behind the scenes, what it's doing is it's creating a bot that is capable of taking responses and giving out responses. And all it's going to do is proxy everything that you send it. It's going to send off to the Q&A service, match into an answer, and then give you back. And it's going to do that on the bot framework, because then running on the bot framework, it means that you can farm it out to Skype or Facebook Messenger or Slack or Teams or all these other places, all by just kind of click, and we'll see that some of that in a minute. Right, it's done, and oh my God, there's loads of code. So let's not look at that. Instead, let's look over to the right-hand side, where we see the chat interface. So it's another one of these chat things. So it's a good way to test it. So in here, let's just say, why am I locked out? Let's just type that in again and just make sure that it's still doing the right thing. Hello, and then it gives us the right answer. Okay, we could change completely how all this works by looking at the code and changing the code, but we're not going to do that. Instead, because we don't want to look at the code, we're going to go to the Bot Framework dashboard. Now, the Bot Framework dashboard is exactly what it sounds like. It's where you manage all your bots, it's where they all live, it's where you can create new ones. Now, because we created a bot through Azure using the bot service, it actually already created it for us on the Bot Framework. So if I go to dev.botframework.com, which is the Bot Framework, and go to My Bots, there's a new bot in the list, which is the one I created. So I can go in here. There's some nice details about it. There's a big test button I can push. And again, it's one of these chat windows. And now down here, you have a list of channels. Now this is literally the places where your bot will work today. So web chat is there. So web chat allows you to drop embed codes onto any web page and get that chat window that's on the right hand side. So this is a bot website bot embed code. So in here, I can just say, like, help. I'm locked out. And it'll just work. So the other thing I could do is light it up for Teams. So I just go down to Teams and click add. And each of the channels has their own setup process, and some are more complicated than others. So for instance, if you go through Facebook Messenger setup process, it's not hard, but there's lots of things to go and do on Facebook to set up and then come back with an ID and then like go over here, do this, do this. Whereas the Teams one is much more simple. That's it. It's done. What that gives you is an add to Teams button. So I can click that and you can share that out. And what you end up with is it working in Teams. So now I can say, why am I locked out? So I'm in Teams, but I'm still using the same bot. It's the same code talking to the Q&A maker. Yes. It is the second. It's not scoped to any particular user. You absolutely could do that in the code, but obviously as it comes sort of straight out the template, no, you can't. So yeah. So for writing no code, that's pretty good. Okay. So let's just flip back to the slide so I can remember what we were doing. Yeah. So everybody in this room could do what I just did. I think you'll agree. It's just kind of clicking buttons, right? So everybody could go and build these Q&A bots today, which is pretty cool. And we have that kind of, that's kind of in the toolbox, and we can do that today. So what about more complicated scenarios? Because that's quite an easy scenario in terms of implementation and doing. What about the more complicated stuff? All right, so that's what I'm going to look at for the kind of next kind of remainder of half an hour, 20 minutes or whatever, is the slightly more complicated. And this is more developer-y than the previous bit. Okay. And I know none of you are developers, but who does PowerShell? Okay, perfect. So you are all developers. You just don't think you're developers. It's fine. So actually, I think you'll find even that this stuff is quite easy to understand, get your head around, and it's quite accessible. And Microsoft have done a ton of work in making it accessible. All right, so some things I'm not going to talk about, and I'm just going to mention them now so that you know that the bot framework is bigger than what I'm showing you, okay? So not going to talk about things like persistent state. So coming back to your bot 5 days later and expecting it to pick up the conversation you just had, or remember that you quite like bananas and not apples, is totally a thing you could do, but I'm just not going to talk about it. Authentication, it's all built in. the idea that you can authenticate to Azure in order to get things done or to get stuff looked up that for you. You can think of a bunch of cases like calendars or mail or stuff like that. Again, it's totally possible. I'm just not going to talk about it. And the same with handoff to human. Again, totally possible. You could have a bot sitting in front of something, and then if it can't work it out, it hands off to a human. I'm also not going to talk about any visual stuff, so I'm just going to do text-based IM, mostly because it's easier, but there's a really rich set of cards, they're called, and visuals. I'm just going to quickly show you, because it is quite interesting. So there's a really good, in the documentation, well, it would be a bit loaded, lists out all the different features. So there's things like buttons and carousels, and they all look slightly different. And you can also see how they look on each of the different channels, because each of the different channels renders them slightly differently. So for instance, this carousel looks like that in Skype, but in Facebook looks subtly different. Yeah, so you can use this to see, well, actually, if I wanted to make these visuals, what exactly would they look like in each of these different platforms? Am I happy with that experience? And there's links then off to the documentation for exactly how you build them. They're not super complicated to build. They're a step up from just sending text, because what you're doing is just potentially sending text with more annotations in it for how the layout should look. But it's worth knowing that they're kind of there if you need them. But like I say, I'm not going to talk about them. So what I am going to talk about is building a bot from scratch. So here's a different scenario that we're going to kind of look at realizing. So can we make a bot for this conference? So a session bot that would tell us what the next session is or what the sessions are happening today. Maybe less useful for today, maybe more useful if you had a week-long conference, or more useful if I'd kind of written it beforehand and given it to you all before you came here, but I didn't. So let's assume we were building that. What would we need to do if we were going to do that? Well, we'd need a bot, first of all, right? Like we'd need the bit that people interacted with that you could send and receive messages to. So we'd need that part of it. We'd need some kind of intelligence to take what people are saying and convert it into the action so we know what it is they want to actually get at. And then we need a whole list of information about the sessions, like a whole something we can do to tell us about the sessions so we can kind of reference it. So let's look at that. So first of all, like the step one is we need a bot. So from scratch, from nothing, what can we do to go and build a bot? All right, so I'm going to go to Visual Studio. Now, you can do this in Visual Studio Community, which is free. So you don't need a special enterprise license for it. And you can download a template to allow you to build a bot application from a template from scratch, which is super useful. So it shows up in here as a bot application. I'll click OK. Just whilst it's creating, actually, I'll just go through this. So the concept is you should treat your bot application a bit like a website endpoint, because that's kind of what it is, right? It's a website that you host in Azure. It doesn't have to be Azure. You host somewhere publicly, and you then tell the bot framework about your website when you register the bot. And the idea then is that users talk to the bot framework, the bot framework talks to your website tells what the answer is, and it all comes back again back to the user. So the way that works internally is when you create a bot application, what you're actually creating is an API application. Okay, so that's why over here, once you've created your template, you have really kind of one class to look at, which is this here, which I'm just going to show you kind of briefly, because it's not complicated, not really. So you have a controller here called post. So literally every message that comes through from the bot framework will go through here. So everything you type comes through into this message, into this sort of method. And what it's doing is saying, well, if it's a message, then do something here. So it's calculating the length of what you sent, and then it's sending it back to you to say, well, actually, you sent whatever it was. You sent hello, which was five letters long, whatever it is. Yeah. So by default, they put in some sample code so you can kind of see how it works. But the important thing is that literally everything comes through here. So you can always look at this activity.txt to see what was being said. Okay. So I'm just going to hit like debug and run on this just so you can see what happens next, because if you're starting from scratch, you might start with a template and you want to make sure it all works before you do anything. Okay. So we get a website, which is kind of not unexpected because I just said we'd written a web API. So that's not totally unexpected. So there's a really good bot framework channel emulator, which allows you to basically emulate what the bot framework does on your local machine. Okay, so once you've loaded that, you can see here the URL at the top matches the URL of the thing that I've just built. So in here, I can say, hello. And all being well, it sends back, you send hello, which is 5 characters. Right. So now I can take this and I can start to build my bot locally. I haven't published it anywhere. Nobody can see it. It's a very quick turnaround time. I can put breakpoints on it in the code. I can do all that. I get some nice information over here about what's happening. And actually for more like advanced scenarios, you can see actually, you can start to see you've got IDs around the recipient, you've got IDs around the conversation. That's how your persistent stuff would work. Because you get this kind of tracking information about users and conversations you can use to reference later. So we can do that. If we had a bit more time, then we could look at like, and I'll kind of talk about it, then we'll go away and then come back at the end to like a fully worked example. But at this point, it's enough, I think, to be like, well, actually, this is could be how you create a bot. What I'm not going to do is make you sit through the whole process of, well, take what the user said and then go and do something else with it. That's created a bare metal bot that's got a kind of working template in it. The next thing we want to look at is, okay, we've got that. That's good. We can take what the user said. The next thing we need is that kind of clever machine learning for when somebody says, what's the next session? We actually know what they mean by what's the next session. Okay. And that's some of the stuff that the Q&A maker made really, really easy for us. So let's look at doing that ourselves. So all that stuff is done using Lewis, which is the Language Understanding and Intelligence Service. Okay, it's a Microsoft Cognitive Services API. It lives in Azure. It's in preview at the moment. You do pay for it, but it's super cheap. It's kind of like fractions of a penny for every 1,000 calls or something. I've never paid any money for it. So the way it works, is like this. So I'm just going to start with a new app. And let's assume that I'm doing this session bot. So give it a nice name. Okay. Right. So the way natural language, certainly for Lewis, works is like this. So imagine the sentence, what's the next session? Okay, that's a good sentence. What's the next session? So we can pick one action that we want to take from that sentence. Okay. And that's called an intent. So the intent of that session, sorry, of that sentence, the intent is that you want to know what the next session is. Okay. So another sentence of tell me what the next session is, that has the same intent. A sentence of what sessions are on today, that has a different intent. So the intent is like the meaning behind the sentence that you want to make. Okay. And you need to tell Lewis the intents that you want. So really quickly, I'm just going to make an intent and I'm going to call it next session. And then in here, I just need to give it an example of a sentence that matches that kind of thing. So what's the next session would be a good example. Yeah. What's next would be quite a good one as well. Okay, so I can save that. And now if I go to train and test and train it, if I now say, well, let's just start easy first. So by saying, what's the next session? Oh. Okay, so what it's done is it said, I think the top scoring intent is next session, and I am 100% sure that that is the case. Okay, which is good, because that's exactly the sentence we told it. A similarly worded sentence, again, it's absolutely sure. A kind of similarly sentence that's misspelt. It's still pretty sure. Okay, so it's doing a really good job. Sometimes it's less sure, but you can use this to train your model. So we could create an intent for what's for the next session. We could also create an intent for like what sessions are happening today, and that kind of thing. The other part of that, so the other kind of concept as well as intents, are entities. Entities give additional meaning. So for instance, you might say, what's the next session? And that's the intent. But you might say, what's the next session in the Skype for Business track? So it's the same intent. Your intent is still the next session. You've added on an entity. The entity is the Skype for Business, okay? And you do that by creating entities here. And then in your train and test, when you're training your application, when you write your sentence, you can say, I'll just do it. In here, so for next session, you can then say, what's the next session in the Skype for Business track? You can choose a word and say that is the track. So now you're matching your entities as well. Okay, that's a kind of really, really quick intro to Lewis, but those concepts of entities and intents are how you build up like a knowledge base, a natural language model for your applications. When you're done, you do publish, and what you get at the end of it is an API endpoint exactly like we did with the Q&A maker. So I can take that API endpoint, and if I use something like Fiddler, and I don't know if you can see that right at the top, that it takes the question as a parameter. So right at the top, I can then say, what's the next session? Although I really shouldn't have used Fiddler, because Fiddler doesn't do spaces very well. Okay. I'm going to use something that's exactly like Fiddler, but allows you to type questions in with spaces and doesn't force you to put the little %40 thing in, because it's faster. Okay, so in that GET request has come back. Here was the query I typed in, and it reckons the top scoring intent. It's also given me all the other intents, which is interesting, and there are no entities. So at this point, you could build this model. You didn't have to know anything about the bot framework. You could just come to Lewis by itself, and you could build that into PowerShell. You could build that into a website. It doesn't matter. At this point, you're just making web requests. Yeah. So you can use that as an AI model. But let's assume for a minute we spent way more time building out Lewis to be really good at doing sessions and working out what people wanted with their sessions. Let's assume as well that we had an API that we could call to tell us what sessions were happening. And then all we'd need to do in code, and kind of really just for time, I didn't want to like write this whole thing in front of you because that would have been pretty torturous. This is exactly the same entry point as from the template, yeah? Except rather than calculating the length, all I'm doing is I'm going off to Lewis, and behind this method is just the web request to say, take what the user said, post it off to you, Lewis, and come back again. Take the reply and then give it back to the user. What that means is if I run this, I'll do it in the channel emulator first, so you can see it's not like actual magic and it is a real thing. I can say here, what's the next session? It will go away and think about it. It will run it through Lewis to work out the answer, come back, go to the session API to work out what the next session is, and then bring it back. the delay was not Lewis, it was my old underpowered Azure API that I haven't used all day being hit for the first time. So if I was to now say what's happening today, it's probably much faster. Yeah. And I can also say what's happening today in the Skype track, I think. Yeah, it'll give me what's happening today for the Skype track. Okay. This you can also take, if I just come back to where we were with the bot framework, and I know I'm jumping about a bit, but so this is another bot that has all this code underlying it. So this works, this is just kind of to prove that it works in the real world. On the bot framework, you can take it here, I think, yeah. And because the channel, the Skype channel, you get the Skype channel, like they add it by default, so you always have it. So also means I can go into Skype, and I was here earlier actually, but I think I can probably just say what session is today. No, I can't. Completely in Skype. So you can totally do this, and it's not as hard as you think. It's kind of that's the overall message I'm trying to give you. It's hard to like cram it all in, but none of it is super complicated. One of the things worth pointing out actually is that all your bots are in preview until you publish them, which means you can use them and you can add them to lots of different channels and you can use them yourself, but other people. So for instance, no one can find that on the Skype network because I haven't published it. Okay. All right, so let's come back here. So that was kind of a bit of a whistle-stop tour, but key message, bot framework, not just for developers, okay? I started off as like with the Q&A maker, super simple, right? Like definitely don't need to be a developer. That's an IT, like that's a even power user, I'd say, or possibly even like just whoever looks after the, like that knowledge could do that, okay? Stepping up to build from scratch, yeah, there's coding, but it's not crazy. Like Lewis is, there's a nice interface for it. The bot framework itself, there's a nice interface for. Tying them together, yeah, it's a bit of code, but it's not crazy code, and it's all generic .NET code, so there's really good documentation for it. It's not like it's a crazy language for the bot framework or anything like that. So absolutely, we can turn lists of information into kind of useful intelligent stuff quickly. We can use AI natively now to have a really good experience, and we know a bit about the bot framework. So that's kind of the aim of what I wanted to get across to you this session. By the way, the story I gave at the beginning about stupid calendars and like it being hard to find dates and stuff like that, if that was a kind of Me Too moment, I found this the other day. If you go there, that's a bot. It's a Microsoft service. It seems to be free. The idea is you CC in Cortana to those stupid conversations. Cortana takes over, talks to all the other people, comes back and puts it in your diary for you. I used it the other day. Seems to work okay. Be interesting to see if it kind of turns into a thing. And hopefully that turns into like the future of how we do calendaring, because that would be awesome. Cool, so we have a few moments for questions, because that's what I wanted to say. So thanks very much.
Questions, so can I just need 1 minute of you? But first, do some questions, so don't go away directly after Tom. Thank you. So, any questions?
No. Sorry, I've stunned you. Like,
honestly, this was an awesome session for being non-developers. Like, easy, right? Now, I just want to highlight something because we are going into break. And so we have sponsor sessions coming up. We don't have a particular slide, but we also have a giveaway, which I do have slides of course. Something you should definitely check out because we have great prizes to give away. Hopefully, we'll switch. No, sponsor session's coming up. Maybe I'm into this. So two sponsor session coming up, one from Audio Coach, which will be the first, will be the other room. And then after that will be Ferrari, Johan as well. Hopefully we'll be speaking Ferrari Gateway. So we have two sponsor sessions, and then we have lots of stuff to give away. We have a real Ferrari Gateway that we will give away at the end of the expert's live. We have three headsets from Plantronics, very expensive one too. Like overall price for the gateway is over 2,000 euros. Headset like 900, and then we have a giveaway from Fujitsu, like a very nice NAS, also value very high price. So all this stuff is going to be free for some one of you. So stick around until the end, and then don't forget to watch the sponsor session.